Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Penny for your thoughts on an overcast and apparently going to be a damp day, at least a chance of showers at about 40%, as you heard Michael mention. Kind of dark here in downtown Champaign, just looking through the glass here near the city building. Glad to be back with you. Thank you to Scott Beatty for sitting in the chair yesterday. I was coming back from taking my daughter down to Nashville for her senior year at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. It's right next door to Vanderbilt there in downtown Nashville. And hard to believe, seemed like I was dropping her off for the first time, her freshman year, just like yesterday. And now she's a senior. My other daughter started at Parkland yesterday. So I got two daughters in college. And all told in our family, we have three in college and a freshman in high school. So I guess we're getting older. They're getting older. Life is moving on. But glad to be back with you today. 70 degrees here at 9:06. We'll have open line time here for the first 45 minutes or so. Talk a little bit about the Sweet Corn Festival coming up this weekend. You had the taste of CU last weekend. We'll switch to the Sweet Corn Festival in Urbana. I always know now, as I've been doing the Illini games for not quite 20 years, but close to it, but I always know that the football season is close for a lot of reasons. But I really know it's close when the Sweet Corn Festival happens because it's always the Saturday before or the weekend before. So there it is. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then there's been a lot of news. We had a few calls a few weeks ago about the Boy Scouts, and you've heard about the changes with the Boy Scouts at the national level. We're going to visit with two or three members of the Prairie Lands Council Boy Scouts and girls now able to join the Boy Scouts, although girls have been a part of scouting for several years, but we'll have three guests on that are local that know all about this that we'll talk with them about in hour number two. So we'll take your comments and questions. If you have any scouting memories, you can certainly bring them our way beforehand if you'd like to do that on the open line segment or during that segment with our guests if you have any questions in regards to that. So we'll do that in the second hour today. Open line time most of the first hour, a little bit about the Sweet Corn Festival. Some of the news headlines, Microsoft revealing new hacking attempts, Colorado man back in court today. I don't know if you saw this. I was driving most of the last 2 days, but guess what? He's back in court today on charges of murder of his pregnant wife and two daughters in Colorado. I can't even comprehend that. But that's the story out there. Former Miss America's calling for Gretchen Carlson, a former Miss America herself, to resign. Governor Rauner's in town for a bill signing today. He'll be at Papa Del's Pizza to sign the bill. We'll see what that's about. Also, road work in downtown Champaign, an honor for Dick Van Dyke. Solar farms in the news. Illini basketball, a Big Ten opponent, going to be named today. Released by the Big Ten. Nothing's out officially from the university or the Big Ten yet, but it's CBS is reporting it's going to be Illinois and Ohio State at the United Center in Chicago December 5th. Also a game in Lincoln against Nebraska December 2nd, part of that package of early Big Ten games so they can get 20 opponents in during the year. And Illini football continues practice over in Champaign. So those are some of the stories we're covering today. Open line segment, if you have something you want to bring up, certainly you can do that if you want to touch on any of those. There was a big protest down on the North Carolina campus, the Silent Sam statue toppled at the North Carolina campus. I'm going to have to look into that, what that statue is all about. But it was given, I guess, donated to the university by the Daughters of the Confederacy years ago. We're talking over 100 years ago. But it was toppled by protesters on the UNC campus in Chapel Hill last night. 9:09 here at DWS, and we'll get it started. John's our first caller. He'll be next right after this break.
On DWS.
All right, here are the numbers. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Back from dropping off a daughter at college, another daughter starting college yesterday. It's that time of the year, the university coming up. Of course, schools are back in session locally. And we're working our way through the month of August here, the 21st day of the month on a Tuesday, 2 hours today. Boy Scouts in hour number two, open line time right now. And John joins us first. Hi, John. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yesterday, I made a statement in reference of the president should not call women dogs, regardless of color, because actually it's a little bit of like calling them the B word. And, you know, I've never called a woman out of their name in that respect. But Dr. Scott, Anna Wall Scott, did get on the radio. And I'm glad you played that song, Out of Touch, Out of Time by Halls and Oates, because I would never do that to her. And she is very well honored and notable, not necessary. And I appreciate her elegance and what she offers to the community, to the veterans, and to the to the black community. But in respect to her, I didn't call her out of her name. When I do question some of her thoughts, I just tell her some things need to be checked and studied before you put them out there. That's the way my parents always taught me. I grew up in the South too, and I appreciate my heritage. And, you know, I would never call her out of her name. She's one of my elder statesmen. I'm a stateswoman, and she also a member of my church. So if she thought I called her out of her name, I apologize.
Yeah. Well, no problem. And let me ask you, John, because there are a lot of stories out recently about the president's approval rating among African-Americans growing. What do you make of that? And why do you think that is?
The thing about it is, Brian, you got to understand, this is a base element that he's pushing. I don't think those numbers are accurate, but if they are, more power to him. It's just like when they talk about the African-American, you know, working is the lowest in history. Mm-hmm. Well, and you look at retrospective, there's a lot of blacks that are not working. Look at all our highway workers. Look at all these jobs. We would love to have those jobs, which we did have them in the past, but we don't have them now. But there's a majority of, you know, whites are losing jobs, plants are moving. So when their numbers go up, our numbers stays the same. So it looks good on the basis of the ground of saying blacks are getting jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, we do have an opportunity out here. Don't get me wrong. This is America. But sometime the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Thank you. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can join us. Says here, the Boy Scouts haven't ruined my life, but they made it worse by having them using the Masonic Lodge in Muhammad. I was a member but had to quit. I can't support an organization that allows transgenders in the club that's made for boys and young men and now girls. What's happening to the Boy Scouts? Not only did I leave the lodge, I was automatically disqualified for being a Shriner. This is an email, it looks like, from Mike. So the Scouts ended up hurting kids that got my support. Might as well just call it Scouts. Having them support a group that allows anyone and anything in goes against what I believe is right. That is an email that is in. We're talking with the members of the Boy Scouts locally here, the Prairie Lands Council, coming up in hour number two. And also got a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Good morning, Brian. On tomorrow's show, before you go off the air, could you pass along the breaking news about Urban Meyer if the meeting at Ohio State concludes before your show ends? Yeah, sure, we can. We can certainly do that. We'll find out about Urban Meyer. I would think it's got to be this week because we're reaching the point where we're getting close to game week, which is next week. So they're going to have to render a decision on that somehow. I've heard some people who are around it. I know I heard Stephen Lauren talking a little bit about it on Saturday, that some of the people are beginning to think it might be maybe a multi-game suspension for Urban Meyer, but he will keep his job. That's the speculation in regards to that case in Columbus. 356-9397. You can join us on the phone lines. Text us here, open line time. We'll talk a little bit about the Sweet Corn Festival towards the end of this hour, and then we'll talk Boy Scouts in hour number two. Got some more open line time tomorrow in the first hour. Same story on Thursday. And on Friday, by the way, a week from Friday, will be our Flashback Friday. And it's also an Illini Friday, a week from Friday, because it'll be the August 31st, the day before the first Illinois football game against Kent State. And we'll have Kent Brown in. We're going to have Cassie Arner scheduled to have her in. She's in charge of kind of the promotions and aspects in relating to Grange Grove, and also Barry Hauser. And we're going to have a few wrinkles along the way, too, on Fridays, similar to the format we've had before over the years, but maybe add a couple of elements to it along the way as well as we work our way through the football season. But the first Illini Friday will be on a week from this Friday, and then also we'll do Flashback Friday a week from this Friday as well. So that's kind of what's on the horizon. Let's go back to the phones to Jim. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Brian, I, you know, we've been hearing Trump saying, you know, the Democrats want open borders and they want to abolish ICE and that. So I thought, well, I'll just call our senators and see. Of course, they're both Democrat. So I called Richard Durbin. And I asked him, and of course she wanted to be dismissive and told me, well, I can't speak for the senator. You can go to his website and you can find out a lot of things. I said, no. I said, I've called before, and I said, you as a staff member and me as a constituent can answer this question. Does he, is he for abolishing ICE? And she stuttered and stuttered. I said, now look, I've called, and I said, you guys don't want to be dismissive all the time, and you don't want to speak the truth. And I said, now answer the question. And then she said, well, yeah, he's for abolishing ICE. And I said, now, that wasn't too hard, was it? Anyway, yeah. So I just want everyone to know out there in radio land that our illustrious Dick Durbin is for abolishing ICE. So what Trump is saying, there's one of our senators right there that would just soon let all the criminals come in and all this and that. Now, I've got to say one thing, too, then I called Senator Duxworth. And right away, that staff member said, absolutely not. She's not for abolishing ICE. So I thank them and all that sort of stuff. Now, Brian, I don't know what another thing here. Sunday in the News Gazette, on the sidebar, there's always, you know, as you open like page two and that, you'll find different snippets of news, and they talked, one of those was the man that was driving his wife for a cesarean operation for her fifth child, was picked up at a gas station. They stopped for gas. They were going to get gas, and two ICE agents come up, and they arrested the man. And, of course, the news media went nuts. It was on CBS, ABC, all these stations, how horrendous this was. Well, yesterday, about noon or so, I was watching TV, and they were interviewing this Ron Vitello, I think is his name. He's a deputy ICE director. Mm-hmm. And he was asked about this. He said, yes, that's exactly right. We had been watching this guy, and we have a directive from Interpol, and the Mexican government asked us to pick him up. He was wanted for murder in Mexico. Mm. So, but he said, I'll bet you $5 you guys never heard that on the mainstream media. It was that we were just awful to pick this guy up, but we said he'd been here 12 years, and they have five children now in, well, he didn't say this, but they have five children in there, in here now that are American, born American, in America, so they're Americans. And this guy worked at a a company that was making these bouncy things for the kids, mm-hmm. for kids to, you know, the
bounce houses.
Up and that
yeah. mm-hmm.
So anyway, I imagine that guy, oh, wow. I'm sure he made $500,000 a year. He's probably a $10 an hour man. So we got five kids that we're going to have to, the taxpayers will be responsible for to raise them and to, you know, all the taxpayer money and that. And I don't bemoan the kids or anything like that, that mm-hmm. they're getting their thing. But this is why we need a border wall. And this is why we need to get rid of Durbin. And by the way, his number is 202-224-2152. And I challenge our people out there to call him and see that he is for abolishing ICE. Now, this is what ICE did just there the other day. Mm-hmm. But you never. That's why Trump's calling these people, these news medias. The enemy of the people. See, now we didn't get to, we didn't, if that guy hadn't been on TV and being interviewed, we'd never known that. Mm. We'd just said, oh, wow, that's terrible.
Yeah.
They took the father away. And this, I'm 100% in favor of Trump saying that the media, not all of them, but they are the enemy of the people. They don't tell us the truth. And it's gotten worse and worse. And it's not only the television, it is in the newspapers. Yeah. Anything from the Associated Press in Washington, you better take it with a grain of salt.
All right. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call, okay?
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, I've contended, and I'm being an observer of politics and history and reading all of this, I still contend that there are two big reasons why Donald Trump got elected. And there was the sense, you've heard that story, but there's the sense that there was just no control, especially of the southern border. People were just, their sense, whether you, there, you know, there are fences and there is electronic monitoring or whatever, but there was just the sense that the country as a whole had given up on trying to solve this problem. And it is a huge problem, not just people crossing the border, but people that have lived here for years and years, and it's a mess. And I think there was a sense that, you know, here's a guy that is going to try to fix this, at least says he will. And I think that's part of the reason he got elected. The other reason is there was a lot of blue-collar Democrats. When you go back to the old Reagan Democrats in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio and North Carolina and different states like that that flipped the election to Donald Trump, in those key states. He was not expecting to win those. Wisconsin's another one. Those are the two main reasons he got elected. And so there is a deep felt sense out there that, you know, somebody needed to do something, whatever it is. And that's kind of where we are. 9:26, back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Open line time here until about 9:45, 9:50. Talk about the Sweet Corn Festival towards the top of the hour. And then we'll talk Boy Scouts in hour number two. Back in a moment. This was the number one song in the country, 1962, on this day. They do this at weddings a lot, right? Yeah, 1962, number one song in the country. We're back, Penny, for your thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS. I saw a poll recently I was reading. There was a poll out about the president and where his support comes. And they say the support for the president is very strong in about 33% of the voters. And I think this is probably about right, 33%. There were also another 10, 11% that don't necessarily like the way the president handles himself personally with his tweets and with his, you know, calling people this and doing this. But they like what they like his policies. They support what he's doing. So that was another, so you're up to about 43, 44%. And where the election will be decided in the future, whether it's in the midterms, which are more localized anyway, but in 2020, is that other 10 or 11% that voted for him, either as a blue-collar worker or someone for his policies, but they are so turned off by his behavior that if they get the chance to vote the next time, they may or may not support him. And in that 10 or 11% in the suburbs of big cities and different places, is where the election will be won or lost in 2020. And I think that's a pretty good read on where the country is. A third very much support regardless, about 10 or 11% that don't like necessarily his demeanor, but they love his policies, and the other 10 or 11% that are like, I voted for him for this reason, but I don't like the way he's doing it, and I plan to not do it again, or may not, and that's where the election's going to turn, I think. And I think that's right. I think that's pretty accurate. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have a thought about this Kaepernick and kneeling at the football games. I was wondering what would be more effective? How about Kaepernick and some of his supporters, football players, put on their uniform and go into one of those sections in Chicago and kneel? Maybe on a Sunday at high noon, ahead of a football game. Let's get Kaepernick and his supporters kneel right there down in the trenches. Maybe Obama would accompany him. I would bet that Trump would. I just don't think that this nonsense of up there in the clouds and trying to make a point. Let's show some courage and take it where the problem is.
And you're talking in the where all the shootings are happening, like
yeah.
In Chicago, yeah.
High noon some Sunday. Have the news coverage and on your football networks and say, here's what's going on. We're going to go kneel where the problem is,
yeah.
Versus out here where we're safe and secure. Just a thought.
Yeah.
I wonder.
No, it's an interesting thought, and you're right. It's easy, and they're making a protest. The ones that are, there are some that still are. Making a protest on a football field where it's pretty safe. You're right. Go ahead.
One other thing is, I like for these multi-jillionaires maybe to put their money where their mouth is. When you pan the football stadiums, maybe I'm wrong, you hardly ever see any blacks. How about them taking some of their money and bringing in some of these black students, black kids, and buy a section, a season ticket section, and put those kids in there and let them see what the real world is like and how civilized people act. Just a thought. Maybe some of your people, your listeners could comment on it and tell me where I'm off base or not.
All right. Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Yep, good to hear from you. 9:33, need to get to the news. We've got a couple of callers waiting. We'll get to you right after the news here. Coming up about 9:45, 9:50, we'll talk a little bit about the Sweet Corn Festival. And also Boy Scouts in hour number two. Back with more Open Line Time. Here's Michael.
Wears a braided chain made of finest silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved.
9:39. I mentioned earlier, Locomotion was the number one song on this day, 1962. If you were around 10 years later, this was the number one song in 1972. How about that? On this day. Always like this. Alright. Number one song, 1972. Back to the phones we go to Greg. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Brian. I just kind of wanted to listen to your last caller talking about the NFL protests or whatever. And I think it's a workplace issue more than anything. I mean, if you came to work, and got on the radio here and used it as a platform to, hammer on one of your issues you really believed in, I don't think the News Gazette would be real happy with it. But I think what these players really need to do, if they want to do something to stop the violence in these communities, is go outside of work, use what they've built their life into, and put their money where their mouth is. Start youth programs to get the kids off the streets and, you know, onto the football field. Or, you know, I mean, LeBron James, I don't really care much for his politics, but he's actually, he's one of these people that's actually doing something.
Yeah, there are a lot of athletes out there who are doing a lot more than we realize. You know,
yeah,
in that regard.
Well, that needs to be brought, you know, to the forefront instead of these kneeling and protests. The guys that are out there doing something should be brought. You know, Kendall Gill's been doing that for the Cunningham Children's Home for as long as I can remember. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Since he was in college, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sad that those guys don't get the recognition, but guys like Colin Kaepernick do. Mm. You know, that's what's sad.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Greg, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Brian.
I really appreciate it. 9:41. I think the protests, and people, I think people are getting pretty tired of it. I mean, I think at some point you can protest to a point and make the point, and then after a while you have what is the law of diminishing returns. Eventually people are just going to tune you out. Because you can oversell something like that. And I think they're reaching that point, I think, pretty rapidly. I think people are just tired of it. I mean, ESPN basically said, I think it was before the preseason game last night or in the future, they're just not going to show the anthem anymore because there's no solution to this. And I think a lot of people as fans are just tired of it. And, you know, at some point you're messy. You make your point, and then you get out. If you keep making your point, you make your point, you just people eventually just kind of tune you out mentally, like, okay, I don't need to hear this anymore. And I think then you've lost your message. So I think eventually this will probably wane on its own. Hey, Carl, good morning.
Hey, Brian. I know you were headed back from Nashville, so you didn't see this story. Apparently there's been a leak about the Urban Meyer report from the committee or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the committee is recommending that he be suspended.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing is that just listening to different people, I know people have talked with Lauren Tate and others, that Tim May out in Columbus and other people that cover this, and they think it's heading towards where he's going to be suspended instead of fired.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Either he didn't do anything wrong, and he should just be free and clear, or he did something wrong and he ought to be fired. How there is a middle ground, I just don't understand.
Yeah. Well, how do you prove what he did know and what he didn't about his assistant coach and their wife, you know, and his wife, and who told who what and when and how? I don't know. Yeah. Then you start getting into, you know, it gets hard, and they've already fired a couple of coaches over the years for different reasons. You know, Woody Hayes, yeah, because he took a slug at somebody during a game, which was not good, and also the Jim Tressel story, which had to do with a lot of other things. But
yeah, the other part of it, which I thought was amusing, is they were also talking about time served.
Oh, that he's been out of practice and so forth? Are you, as far as Urban?
Yeah.
Or yeah, okay.
Yeah, Urban.
Yeah.
But
well, they're going to have to come up with an answer. They're going to have to come up with an answer in the next day or two because we're getting into game week next week.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it doesn't make sense. Either you do A or B.
Yeah. All right.
I don't
know
what.
All
okay.
Right. Well, thank you, Carl.
Talk to you later.
Appreciate it. We're going to talk about the Sweet Corn Festival coming up. Ben is up next, and then Bobby, and then we'll close it down. Hi, Ben.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, I'm calling in regards to the past couple of callers who called in about Colin Kaepernick and the NFL protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically want to address the white supremacy that came out of their mouths. You know, it is, at this point, with all the media coverage, it's willfully ignorant at best, if not, you know, a malicious lie to say that these players aren't raising any money, aren't engaging in any community action, you know, that they're only testing on not actually doing anything in their communities. Colin Kaepernick has donated $1 million of his own dollars to approximately 24 community organizations And he has spent his time out of football directly engaging with these community organizations, getting his hands dirty, working with folks. There are lots of players who do the same. The fact that we have what sounds like middle-aged men calling in, and they're just whining about it, and they're suggesting something that's already happening, and they have the audacity to criticize these black players for how they choose to protest, is absurd. And I will tell you, here's how, especially the first caller, gave up the game. Here's how we know what he thinks about these black men and these black members of our community. He had a suggestion after he criticized Colin Kaepernick for not doing something that Kaepernick's already doing. He said, here's another idea. How about these players? He said, I don't see many black faces in NFL crowds. How about these players buy tickets, bring in a bunch of young black men so they can, quote, by his words, how civilized people act. The implication there is that these black kids are not civilized, and that by going to an NFL game that's full of white people, they'll see how civilized people act. Men who are getting drunk, men who are fights, men who are putting in costumes so they can sit in the stands for 3 hours. It's terrible. It's terrible, Brian. It's terrible that you don't push back on this, and I would love for you to ask some of the black and brown athletes who you cover, ask them about that thought. Ask them if they should be bringing in more black youth to see them play so they can see how civilized people act in the stands.
Yeah, I don't know if he said civilized people or real world, but I don't.
Yeah, please go back and play the audio.
Okay.
And
I'm not calling you out or disagreeing. I'm just trying to remember what he said. But and I don't know what the number of African American attendance is at football games. I haven't paid any attention in that regard. And there are a lot of black athletes and white athletes that do a lot of good community work that gets overlooked. I mean, it goes on all the time. And the NFL tries to highlight some of it with their PSAs and different things going on. So, yes, and I know Kaepernick has been involved in several. I think the general frustration is that it's...
Brian, I would say at this point it's not being overlooked by the people who are leveling these specific criticisms. Mm-hmm. It's being ignored. It's being willfully ignored. It's not being overlooked. There's been too much media coverage about this to say that it's been overlooked. It's being ignored purposely.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Thank you. Appreciate it. 356-9397-948. Let's see here. Bobby, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing there, Brian?
Good.
Yeah, I want to respond to the other three callers that call in and what they said about the border. Actually, Obama have already resolved that situation. He had cut the people walking over the border down something like about 90%, if I'm not wrong, 90%, 80%, something like that. There is no way possible that you can completely shut down the border, because there are other ways of getting over the border. Railroad, airplane. And they're talking about building a wall. They'll fly over the wall. That don't make any sense. And they're going to pay all that billions of dollars. And after they got that tax cut for the rich, and now we at a $1 trillion deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Now where are we going to get the money from to build a wall? See, that word don't make any sense. Everything got to make sense in order to work.
Yeah.
Hey. Obama have already cut down the... intruding over the border, the southern border, and about Kaepernick and the black players protesting by kneeling. First of all, they are protesting within their rights, their constitutional right to protest. But we got a president today do not care about the needs of the black community. We got a president, matter of fact, that do not like us as black Americans.
Well,
if he could, if he had any way possible, he'd get rid of every black person in this country.
Well, I don't know. There's support. They say the support's up among, you know, African Americans. So something's going on there, but. Hey, Bobby, I hate to cut you off, sir, but I got to run. I'm running behind here, okay? Thank you. Appreciate it. I need to get to a quick break. Talk about Sweet Corn Festival coming up next. All right, back on Penny for Your Thoughts, and we'll talk Sweet Corn Festival here with Warren Thomas in just a moment from the Urbana Business. You have to tell me again.
Association.
Business Association. Real quick, couple of tweets. I think Trump's tweets are stunningly beautiful and a work of art. Smiley face on it. During warm-ups at the U of I football games, I'd rather hear Aretha Franklin music instead of rap music, and has Learfield hired a sideline reporter for the football games. They should have an announcement on the sideline reporter either today, I think, is what they're looking at. So you'll hear about that. And Aretha Franklin, yes. I'd enjoy the Aretha Franklin. 1 year ago today, the total eclipse of the sun. And I hope the Illini this upcoming football season don't kneel during the anthem because I'm sure it'll have a negative effect. They don't need that. That is from Ernie. I think they're usually in the locker room when the anthem is played at Memorial Stadium. All right, 9:54. I'm running a couple minutes behind. And Warren, tell me your job. What do you do?
I'm the marketing and events coordinator for the Urbana Business Association.
And the Sweet Corn Festival.
Right around the corner.
Weekend.
Yes, sir. Friday and Saturday.
Tell me the times.
We start at 5 p.m. on Friday and 11 a.m. on Saturday, and we run till midnight both nights.
Both nights in downtown Urbana.
Downtown Urbana. We'll have music to acts the whole way through. We've got a bunch of great local bands. 90s Daughter will be there playing their tribute to Styx, as well as some other 80s bands, Boston, and other bands that they put in that set. Mojo, a tribute to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, is a local favorite. They just got put together. It came from the Great Cover-Up, and now they've stayed together to keep playing Tom Petty, and it's been a really great time, and we're excited to have them there.
So everything's in kind of the same location where it's been over the years?
So we've moved it a little bit. The stage is now at the T between Springfield and Main rather than in front of the courthouse, but it's just kind of reversed. It's in the same place downtown, Main Street Urbana there.
Well, you're looking for volunteers, right?
Yes, we are.
That's why we're having you on a little earlier in the week.
Yes, and I appreciate
it. What do you need?
We need volunteers all over the place. We have shifts available between 9 a.m. and midnight. They're all three-hour shifts. We have everything from making the corn and serving the corn to the beer to helping us with recycling or running cups out to vendors and things like that. And we have some fun incentives from our sponsors. All of our individual volunteers are entered into a bunch of drawings. They can win things like two tickets to a Krannert show of their choice. We have 15 different sets of that. We have a couple $100 in gift cards to local restaurants and things like that. And all of our volunteers are entered into that. They also get shirts and free corn and other things. And then organizations of eight or more, we will donate $50 to a charity of their choice, and we will announce them as a sponsor at the stage and get their logo on the site and tweet about them and things like that
as well. Okay, so there's some incentive there to help out. Where should they go or who should they call or what do they need to do?
If you go to UrbanaSweetCornFestival.com and click volunteers at the top, that's the easiest way. You can also call our office at 217-344-3872.
Where do they get all the sweet corn?
We get the sweet corn from Warrensburg, Illinois, a local sweet corn farm there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm partial to it because I'm Warren.
Yeah, that's right. And how many years do they usually go through?
We go through about 20,000 ears of corn.
Yeah.
We always run out. And so if you would like some corn, get there early. We'll be out usually on Friday night we run out, and then on Saturday night we have another round, and we tend to run out then as well.
Yeah. When do you usually run out? When's the best time to come to eat sweet corn?
I think the best time, anytime before 10. It's right around when our last acts get on that we tend to be running a little bit low. We've got more this year, so we're hoping that we don't, but it seems like, you know, we're in Central Illinois. Corn's popular.
And this is free admission, right?
Free admission.
But then do you get tickets?
No, so we're completely ticketless this year. So we take cash and credit card at all of our stations. Corn is $1, and then all of the beers will be $5. And we're all local beer this year. There's no macro beers. So we'll have beer from Distill, Riggs, and the Blind Pig, and then we will also be serving wine at our tents from Wildwood Cellars out in St. Joe. And so we're doing the hard cup again there this year. So it's open container to all of the bars in Urbana as well, and they'll be having musical acts as well. So if you don't like who we've got on for the next 90 minutes, you can go over to the Rose Bowl and see who they're playing, or Bunnies, or any of the other bands in town.
How many years for this now?
We started in 1975.
Okay. So it's been around a little while then.
Yes. Then it was in the same place. It was in the Busey parking lot there in downtown Urbana.
Yeah. Well, it's grown into a great event. And it's always, it's usually been about this time, right? I mean, right before football season.
Right before football season, we'd like to kind of mark the end of the summer. It's right leading into Labor Day every year.
Give us the times again.
So it'll start at 5 p.m. on Friday and 11 a.m. on Saturday, and we'll go till midnight both days.
Okay, and for volunteers?
UrbanaSweetCornFestival.com/volunteer or call the office 217-344-3872.
All right. Hey, Warren, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having
Should
me.
Should be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And the weather looks good, I think. It's going to get hot again, but...
We'll have sun, it sounds like, and that's all I can ask for. Yeah.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. There you go. The Sweet Corn Festival coming up in Urbana here at, by the end of the week on Friday and Saturday as well. 356-9397 is the phone number. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. By the way, we got about 30 seconds left, and Warren, don't leave yet. I got a text in. Why is there no more national acts for the band? Local bands don't bring out the same crowd. I don't know about that.
But. I don't know about that either. I think we really wanted to make a celebration of Urbana, and that's why we've moved to local beer. We've almost have entirely local vendors as well. We really have a really cool community here in Champaign-Urbana. We're one of the only communities growing in Illinois, and we wanted to celebrate that. And so we're celebrating that music scene
as
well.
There you go. We got the text in. Thanks, Warren. Appreciate it. The news is next, 10 o'clock, WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Boy Scouts in the next hour.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
10 after 10, Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. We've had a busy studio today and a busy first hour, lots of conversation. Got into the NFL and the anthem and the protests and all of that. I didn't expect necessarily that. I know it's still been an issue, especially with the onset of the NFL season here in a couple of weeks. And several texts in regards to that that I think we got them all in based on what I'm reading here. So it looks like it. All right, 10 after 10, 70 degrees, downtown Champaign. We're going to talk about the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts organization has been in the news quite a bit over the course of the summer in a lot of different ways. We have three guests for us. We have Randy Kangas, who is the president of the Prairie Lands Council. There's Randy over there. You can say hi.
Hello.
Let me turn your mic on. How about that? There you go. Say it again.
Hello, and thank you for having us.
Very good. We got you on the record now instead of off mic. So thank you. How long have you been the president?
About 7 months.
Okay, so you just get where? Have you lived here locally, or are you?
I have been in town for over 30 years.
Okay, so you're a townie.
I'm a townie now.
You know all about it. Steve Adams is here. He's a scout executive, professional staffer who runs the scouts in the area. Steve,
good morning.
Good to see you. How long you been at this?
34 years.
Yeah, and you lived in town the whole time.
2 years here.
To where were you before?
In Chicago.
Okay. In the city or in the suburbs?
In the city.
In the city itself.
Yeah.
Because people have to differentiate, I guess, us downstaters,
you know.
Yeah. Good to have you here. And Gabrielle Martin is here.
Good morning.
Gay Martin, we know her as.
Yes.
Channel 3 for many years. How long were you at Channel 3?
I was there for 23 years.
Yeah, you can pull that mic a little closer to you. Okay. So there you go. How's that? 23 years?
23 years.
Good mornings, right?
Yes, I did.
Among other things?
Among other things.
Yes.
But I've been gone for 13 years.
Have you been gone for 13?
Yeah.
Wow, do you miss getting up early like that?
No. Surprisingly enough, I don't.
And you're a venturing advisor. A Scoutmaster for Venturing has held every important position in the council, currently the vice president. So you've been at this a long time in this area, too.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Well, let's start, I guess, in general with Prairie Lands Council. What is Prairie Lands Council? And anybody can jump in and tell us what it is.
We're a youth organization. I think everybody knows about the Boy Scouts. Our mission is to prepare young people to make critical decisions, important decisions in their life. It's based on outdoor leadership skills. Mm-hmm. We have been in this area for about 100 years.
Known as the Prairie Lands Council, or has the name changed over the years?
The council borders changes over time.
Okay. And
it used to be Arrowhead Council, some may remember mm-hmm. as that, and Piankashaw was our Danville, and then we merged, and I'm not sure what it was prior to that.
Yeah. Almost 30 years we've been Prairie Lands.
So even though there's a national Boy Scouts brand, every area around the country,
yes.
different parts of different, how many different groups are there like Prairie Lands in the state of Illinois, for instance? Are there several?
About 15.
15 in the state. Okay. And so one of the big headlines that came up, and again, our callers, you can join us here at any point in our discussion once we get going here, 356-9397. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com, and text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, has been girls in the Boy Scouts. Now, I'm going to let Gabrielle address this because you've been involved. Now, girls have been a part of scouting
for
years. Tell us what's all the hubbub about, I guess, with girls when it comes to joining the Boy Scouts.
Well, the history of it is that girls were part of the exploring program, which was high school and college age back when I was in high school. And, well, approaching the 40th anniversary of that, at Tuscola, I graduated from there. And then 20 years ago, they created what we call the Venturing Program, which is, again, high school and college age. And they allow those groups to be all boy, all girl, or co-ed. And 95% of them in the nation are co-ed. And they focus a lot on high adventure programs, so going to the high adventure bases in Florida or New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we've been in it for a while. But starting this year, we are now recruiting girls and allowing girls to join at the Cub Scout level, which is kindergarten through fifth grade. And then next year they'll start at the next level, which has traditionally been called Boy Scouts, but will now be called Scouts BSA.
Mm-hmm. And are you getting a lot of response with girls wanting to?
Well, part of this stems from the fact that they've done research with families, and families want that one-stop shopping. You know, they don't want to have to take, well, we've got Girl Scouts this night, Boy Scouts this night, Cub Scouts, and all these different places. And for many packs, the sisters have come along to the meetings anyway. The parents were den leaders or pack leaders, and so the sisters would come along and do the games. They just couldn't officially join, but now they can officially join and be part of the program.
We're here again with Gabrielle Martin. We've got Steve Adams with us, the scout executive. We've got Randy Kangas, the president of the Prairie Lands Council. As far as the governance level, what impact does this have on scouting with the changes there?
Well, I wanted to be clear. There has been some pushback mm-hmm. by Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. The Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are completely different organizations, completely different governance structure, completely different decision making. And so this was not, we can't necessarily just merge the programs. They are different organizations.
Mm-hmm. And just how are they different? I think most people, when they think Girl Scouts, they think cookies.
I'm not talking about the program. I'm talking about the organization mm-hmm. itself. There are national organizations, and they are different. They have different people, different governance structures. They're not attached at all.
Mm-hmm. The National Boy Scouts, there's been a lot of attention on different facets. Now, there's a national organization right in the U.S., and then there's international.
Correct.
Right? Tell us how that works. I mean, scouting's been going on internationally for just about as long, right?
Right. United States, the Boy Scouts started in 1910. They actually started in England in 1908. It is a worldwide organization. There are six countries who do not have a scouting organization, the closest one being Cuba, and North Korea is another mm-hmm. prime. China is a prime example. It is a worldwide. There is a worldwide organization, and the international organization is not the same as the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, when all the talk of the various social issues of the day, whether it's been gays, whether it's been condoms at different jamborees and so forth, that has been more an international issue, right?
That's correct. It garnered some headlines. For the first time in 50 years, the International Jamboree is in America, and it is governed by the international rules, and international organizations are supporting it, like the World Health Organization and UNICEF. That's not being run by the American organization. Mm-hmm. So it adheres to international rules rather than the American rules.
Mm-hmm. Which have tended socially to be more liberal than... And Europe in general has been more liberal than the U.S., right? Just about everything.
Absolutely. Most countries have been co-ed for a long time. England and Canada went co-ed in the 1970s. The American system is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. When you guys hear people, and any of you can address this, people say, well, I want the Boy Scouts to be the boys, and I want the Girl Scouts to be the girls. Why can't we just do it like we've always done it? What do you... What do you think when you hear that, I guess?
I like people having the ability to make choices. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagle is a national, internationally known commodity award. It is very important, I don't see any reason why people can't belong to one or the other. We're just
or
offering
both.
More choices today.
Or both.
Or and, both.
We have some young women in our venturing program that are members of Girl Scout troops and of our venturing crew. So, you know, there's nothing that says you have to be a member of one or the other. You can be a member and take advantage of both programs.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I know you got some thoughts on
we have a Cub Scout pack. I'm sorry, a Girl Scout troop that's about to become a Cub Scout pack so that they can become one of the first all-girl Boy Scout troops in February of 2019.
Is that right? By February that early?
Yeah.
February of 2019. Wow. 356-9397. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line. We're at 1019. Any thoughts on the Boy Scouts in general? If you were a member of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, anything you want to share with our guests here? They know everything, the insides and outs here of the scouting organization. I think a lot of times, like any organization, if you're on the outside looking in, you don't quite know all the nuances of what goes on. Are the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or venturing, are they doing a lot of the same things they did 100 years ago, or has that evolved over time? I mean, how are they different than they were 100 years ago? And anybody can answer that.
Scouting is a living organization. It started with about 50 merit badges. There's over 120 today. They are constantly, the ranks and the merit badges are constantly being revised and updated to today's standards. So it is very much a dynamic organization. It's always been changing. Mm-hmm. Yes, there have been a couple of headline-grabbing changes recently, but it has changed according to, you know, today's standards.
Mm-hmm. Same thing from you?
Absolutely. You know, 100 years ago, venturing didn't exist. But in our 20 years, we've had young women go and do, we've had a couple of young women from this area who have become regional and national officers, and they're able to go do some of the really fun things that Boy Scouts do, the Philmont Scout Ranch and those high adventure programs that I think that, you know, ever since Title IX, you know, in the late 70s when we mm-hmm. girls became more competitive in sports, you've seen that grow. And I think that girls wanting to do more adventurous things is just follows right along with that. Mm-hmm. They want to be more involved.
Well, and there was, you know, for years and years, and we have to say we're all of a certain age that, you know, it was like, well, boys can do certain things and girls just can't do those things. You know, they're not physically. And then, of course, our society has changed. You know, you've got
yes.
into journalism. You've got in. I mean, there's more opportunities for girls, and then including in the scouting, right?
Absolutely. So when we go up on our mountain treks, the girls are right up there with the guys. Mm-hmm. They don't hold back. They may be a little bit more competitive because they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, don't ever underestimate us.
Yes. No. And I think that's you know, I think of the old Brady Bunch episode years ago where Marcia wanted to be an Eagles, whatever it was they called it on the show, and you know Greg was making fun of her because you know she couldn't do it. But it was just kind of that was the way people thought back then.
Right.
I think you know.
Yeah,
all those years ago.
And as you think of, you know, the 12 points of the Scout Law, those aren't gender specific.
Mm-hmm.
Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, et cetera. Those can all be male or female. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
All right. We got a caller here. Let's go to, is this Jones?
Yes, sir. I can see both sides of this. I have a son and a daughter, and they were both in scouting. Looks like to me it'd be a whole lot easier if you just went like Don Moyers did with Boys and Girls Club, Boys and Girls Scouting. Why do we have to differentiate and say this is Girl Scouts, this is Boy Scouts? If it's just Boys and Girls Scouts, the boys wouldn't feel belittled if they have to join a Girl Scout troop. There's no Boy Scout troop available and vice versa. Why can't we just say that, Boys and Girls Scouts?
Well, I think that goes back to what Randy was saying earlier, and that they are two different organizations. You know, imagine two different, I kind of equate it to sports teams. You have your football team and your soccer team, and people tend to think you can only do one or the other, but you know, they are two different games, two different sports. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? Probably, but that's at a higher level than we could do here. That's national level stuff, and we're volunteers. We don't make enough for that level. I mean, it would be nice, but again, they are two different organizations.
Yeah, I like to think of where decisions are being made and how they're being made, and as Gay just said, those are national level. We don't get to decide that locally. And maybe that will happen someday. Who knows? Things are changing rapidly.
Steve, any thought on that?
It's interesting. When I first started working for the Scouts in 1984, I would go into schools and talk to the boys about joining Scouting, and the girls wanted to join, and here it is 34 years later, and it's finally happening. So you never know. Boy Scouting and Girl Scouting could merge at some point in time.
Anything else, Jones?
No, that just makes sense to me. I don't know why the national people can't, see that.
All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, 10:23. We need a break. We'll come back with more here with Gabrielle Martin. We've got Steve Adams and Randy Kangas. Any questions for our scouting experts here in regards to the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, boys and girls together? The merit badge? You've got some merit badges you want to tell us about? You can do that, too. We'll take all of that. Anything relating to scouting as we continue with more on Penny after this. Penny for your thoughts. We're at 10:28, talking about the Boy Scouts. Prairie Lands Council is here. The president of the Prairie Lands Council, Randy Kangas, Steve Adams, scout executive. And he runs the scouts in the area. And Gabrielle Martin, a venturing advisor, scoutmaster for venturing, has held every important position in the council, currently the vice president for the Prairie Lands Council. Boys and girls together with dual leadership. Talk about that a little bit, how that works, how you have boys and girls together.
Well,
how does that work?
The policy for the Boy Scouts of America, and Steve, you can probably give me the date, was at least in the 80s where we developed this two-deep leadership for everything. So anytime you have scouts together, you have to have at least two leaders. And in the co-ed programs, that will mean one adult female and one adult male, so that you'll always have two and have at least one of each gender. So, that's a policy that we stand very firmly with and have, and all the time that my children have been in scouting. So that alleviates some of the problems that I think people are worried about.
Mm-hmm. Same thing?
Yeah. The PACs will be separate, and we have youth protection training since the early 1980s. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that big of a problem.
We talked about a little bit co-ed. America's U.S. was one of the last countries what were the other ones you said?
Yemen and Saudi Arabia do not have co-ed scouting.
And that was the U.S. was one of those last three. Mm-hmm. So, big changes.
Yeah.
356-9397. Have any questions, input? If you were a scout, earned a merit badge or two along the way, you can certainly visit here with our scout. If you have any questions for them, feel free to do that. A lot of opportunities, more opportunities than ever. Now, what is Lions in kindergarten? What is that? Tell me about that.
Steve, I'll let you do
that. That's a brand new scouting program for kindergartners and a parent partner.
Mm-hmm. So how does it work? You just you got to be of a certain age, or you got to be
age five and in kindergarten, and that's kind of an introduction to Cub Scouting and just a real light introduction. I mean, they can't go to day camp or too many overnight camps. It's kind of just get your feet wet in Cub Scouting, and we're finding that. More and more youth are committing to organizations earlier, and so the Boy Scouts needed to get into that age five grouping to get them into the fold.
Well, it seems like, and we see this in sports, where any more young people are getting into a sport, whether it's soccer or baseball, and they just go with it. They don't play a lot of sports.
Right.
And does scouting run into, we're talking about what Steve said about getting in earlier, because they're going to be committed to something else at some point. Is that what?
Well, I think that there is a factor somewhat with that. I think any youth group has seen some of their numbers fall as people get involved in the club sports and things. Ironically, my venturing crew, we were preparing to go on a trip this summer, and in preparation, we were climbing the ramps at Memorial Stadium, put on a 30-pound backpack and hike around. And we ran into someone who works for the U of I football team, and I wish I could remember his name, but he's an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. And he said he would actually like to see them have athletes who've played more than one sport, because I think you're seeing more repetitive stress injuries if you're concentrating on one sport. But, you know, parents make decisions on where they want to spend their time, where they want to spend their money with their children. And for many, those sports can be a wonderful program. But I'm sure, it has impacted every youth organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 356-9397. I'll have the news headlines coming up here with Michael Kaiser in a couple of minutes. Whenever he gets in here, we'll get him on. Run through the badges, merit badge. Have those changed much over the years, or is it the same ones from...
They do change. Mm-hmm. They are generally stable, but the individual requirements on each badge will change as the individual requirements on each rank advancement will change. Mm-hmm. And there are always additions of new badges and removal of old badges. So, again, it's an attempt to stay current. There are national committees that work on that. And you still need certain required ones to become an Eagle Scout that you're working towards. And a total number.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the newer ones?
We have one on gaming now, design. So, you know, obviously that was not around 100 years ago, but they, for the 100th anniversary, they brought back some, like, signaling, using the flags and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it has varied, but gaming, we have first aid, some of the standard ones, wilderness survival, first aid, citizenship in the community, the nation, the world. Personal management, which is all about learning how to handle your money and personal fitness. And, you know, of the 21 required for Eagle Scout, there are 13 that, you know, are all Eagle required. So communication and learning some of the basics of how to survive and lead in the world. And then you get to add some other ones. Some kids concentrate on the shooting sports. Some of them concentrate on emergency preparedness and some of the environmental sciences. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, Michael Kaiser's in here. We will let him come in and sit down. I'll give you my seat, Michael. You can sit in my seat. We'll do the news coming up. We'll continue with our guests about the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and venturing and all of that as we continue after the news here with Michael Kaiser.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
All right, we had some open line time the first hour. We've been talked Sweet Corn Festival towards the end of the last hour, and we are also visiting here with members of the Prairie Lands Council, the Boy Scouts. By the way, if you're hungry, we are approaching football season. If you'd like to get to the Beef House, I'd invite you to do so over in Covington, Indiana. We always head over there anytime the football team will stop there, usually on the way to Purdue or to Indiana or wherever, Indianapolis. Yeah, you can either get a salad for lunch or do the complete lunch buffet with salad with a tasty entree, some great side items to go with it. Of course, they have the great menu as well, led off by all the steaks you can have, all the variety of steaks. There's great dessert, ice cream and sherbet, sundaes and cheesecake. Whether you're planning a birthday or anniversary dinner or gathering with friends and family, a lot of weddings occur in August. I think I saw August 18th is like the number one day for weddings, or was this year for some reason. A lot of people are in town. So bring them over to the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, just off I-74, exit 4 in Covington. And remember, they are on Eastern time. So if you're planning a dinner or lunch over there, just remember, you lose the hour going east, you gain it coming back. But it's a great meal regardless. Say hi to Bob and Bonnie Wright.
Now, Brian, you didn't mention the rolls.
Well, the rolls.
I mean, that's a given. To me, that's, you know, the steak and the salad is just a vehicle to get the rolls in.
That's right, yes. Those they just bring for free. I mean, they don't charge anything extra for those. So, anyway, visiting here with Randy Kangas, the president of the Prairie Lands Council. Steve Adams is a scout executive. Gabrielle Martin is a venturing advisor. And talking about scouting, all the international and national discussions about scouting have been pretty prevalent. But also just how to join the scouts, the opportunities, and just the learning core values, personal management, fitness. I mean, there's so many things that you learn at this stage of life that you carry with you the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, this is a continuation kind of school, but it with a different emphasis, especially based on outdoor experiences. But yes, as a part of the requirement for the Eagle, you have to have personal management, personal fitness, family life. You need to talk about the stresses in your life with your family and have some of those discussions and activities. Which are sometimes hard for a middle-aged, middle school-aged kid.
Well, you'll find a lot of times, and I don't know what the number is, how many of our presidents have been like Eagle Scouts or, you know.
Only one.
One has been Eagle. Many have been Scouts.
Yeah, have been Scouts. Right. But they learned a lot of the management skills or other things you can learn in Scouting, right, that help them.
And Scouting will tell you that, you know, while we put the Eagle up there as the top rank for the Scout BSA program, Summit for the Venturing program, their actual goal is to get boys and girls, and now girls, to the first class rank because it teaches you all the basic life skills. You know, you get an introduction to some life-saving skills and some basic leadership skills. So really getting on up from first class on up to Eagle, fewer and fewer, you know, the numbers drop as you go up the rank, but the main goal is to get them to have the basic survival skills.
Who was the one president, by the way?
Gerald Ford.
Gerald Ford. Wow, was an Eagle Scout. And others that have participated down through the years?
Many members of Congress, none of which I can...
At one time, more than half of Congress had been involved in the Scouting program. I think it's down to more like about a third because of women in Congress, et cetera. But at one time... A very large percentage of Congress had been in Scouting. And I don't know, some people say we should apologize for that. But
We're visiting with our Scouts here. If you have any questions or comments, thoughts you want to throw in, you can certainly do that, either phone, email, or text, 1043. This day and age with all of the social media that's out there, getting kids to unplug from that. Tell me about the challenges.
You know, there's study after study coming out that the changes due to the internet and now smartphones, putting those two together is creating a lot of stress on younger people, especially. Some of the older people like me, I'm not plugged in all day anymore. But the value of unplugging, of walking in the woods, so that it reduces your stress levels, it reduces anxiety levels, it helps you sleep better. There are physical impacts as well. So when you see, for example, billboards about visit national parks, go camping, we're the organization that's teaching kids how to do that.
Mm-hmm. So when they go on a camping trip or whatever, the phones are out, right? I mean, you don't take them?
Well,
or not?
For many young people, and even me, that's their camera as well, so you can't completely abandon that.
Right.
And there's something to be said for kids being able to call or post something from the top of a mountain. Hey, I'm at 12,441 feet, and there's something about being able to post that and share it with everyone. But then you run into the problem of how do I charge this? Now I've got to carry a charger, and so it becomes a weight issue when you're backpacking. But there is something to be said of just getting out there and connecting with each other. There's was a wonderful article in The Atlantic about the impact of the electronics on youth, and then the book Last Child in the Woods talks about how what kids are missing with that. Just the simple act of being able to entertain yourself out in the woods without having to have an electronic device with it.
Mm-hmm. How about low-income, underprivileged youth? How can you help them be a part of?
We have an active program called Scout Reach, and we have, in addition to everything else, we do have an annual dinner as a fundraiser, a Whitney Young dinner. We're involved in the Scout Reach program. Is very active. We have 20 packs, 9 troops, and 3 crews actively involved. And the last caller talked about Don Moyers. We have programs within Don Moyers, the Boys and Girls Club, as well. So we're actively trying to help programs like the Dream House, Boys and Girls Club in Danville, and in Champaign. You can raise money. For example, Gabriel's crew has an interesting way to raise money. I mean, my troop would sell wreaths and that sort of thing. And of course, you'll hear popcorn sales coming up in the fall.
Yeah, tell us about the popcorn sales. What's going on there, Steve?
Our popcorn sales have kicked off. We have every flavor of popcorn available. Chocolate, several kinds of caramel with nuts, caramel with no nuts, caramel with salt.
That's one of the many things going on right now, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you'll see Scouts out at various grocery stores around town selling it, so please take advantage of it. When we have the popcorn sales, a portion of the proceeds go to the council to help support our camp and our professional staff. and another portion of it, I want to say it's like a third, a third, a third. So a third goes back to the popcorn company, a third goes to the council, and a third goes to the individual units so that they can use that for their program to buy all those merit badges and patches and to help the, you know, a scout is thrifty. That's one of the 12 points. Mm-hmm. So to help the scouts earn their way, to pay for some of the bigger trips or to pay for even just a weekend backpacking trip or weekend adventure. So it's a way for the scouts themselves to pay for their own program. Mm-hmm.
In our troop, we had people who raised more than enough for summer camp or their entire litany of year-long activities by selling popcorn, by selling wreaths, by that sort of thing. So please buy some popcorn.
Any other events we need to know about coming up?
We do. We have coming up in 2 weeks, a Distinguished Citizen event. This is, I believe, our fourth one, maybe fifth one. We are honoring the Libman family. This is a major event to raise money for the council, support Camp Drake, to support all the activities of the council. So there are tickets if you go to the Prairie Lands Council website, and please attend. It's a great event. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, give us that website, because I know they're...
PrairieLandsBSA.org.
.org is the place to go, and the number anybody can call. Is there a number, or do you just go to the
356-7291.
All right, 356-7291. Any quick calls for our guests? You can get those in here. We're at 1048 here at DWS. What about the future of scouting? I mean, we've been at it over 100 years. You see it going on for the foreseeable future?
Well, I'm biased, but I think this is one of the best programs around. Mm-hmm. It was started to a large extent in England to get young people out of the city, mm-hmm. to work on leadership skills, to work in team building, because what you have is you have a senior patrol leader, and they have to form teams to get whatever they need done. More than ever, I think getting out of the city, disconnecting, even just for a weekend, is more important than ever. With all the stress and mental health concerns going on, I think it's more important than ever for young people today.
That was one thing Teddy Roosevelt was always talking about, right? As president, he was a big national parks, all the things that happened, but mm-hmm. he was big into that, right? Getting outdoors and fitness and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you can see a picture of a mountain all you want, but until you actually see it, it is really something. Mm-hmm. So this is prepping people to be able to do that and to be good citizens and to have the skills to be able and go out and do some of these things.
All right, back to the phones here for Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. You're on with our guests. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, I just want to... say thanks for, you know, the volunteers here and all the work that they do. Great job. I was a Cub Scout, Boy Scout in Troop 13, and I'm pretty sure it was we were one of some of the charter members of Troop 13, and the troop leader was Mr. Gungy. I don't know if anybody remembers him.
Oh, I remember him.
Absolutely.
He was a great mentor. I mean, what a great guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And another guy that people probably don't know the name that much, that was a assistant, he was a dad of some of the kids in it, was Mr. Lohmeyer, Ivor Lohmeyer. That guy taught me so much. But just wanted to say, you know, shout out to them too who have passed on. And is Troop 13 still a troop?
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm going to be helping them with some CPR training in a couple of weeks. But yeah, they are still active.
So
where are they at?
They meet at, I believe, at St. Peter's Church there on Russell Street in Champaign. Hmm. They had been at the Methuen Church for years, but then they moved over to St. Peter's a couple of years ago.
What was the biggest thing you took from scouting, Kevin, that maybe you carried over?
Be prepared.
Yeah.
No, really.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
No, you know, that is always something that is in the forefront, you know, as you go through life and stuff. It's just like, you know, when I went out yesterday, it wasn't raining, but I brought my rain jacket because I wanted to be prepared.
That's good stuff.
Stuff like that.
Well, thank you for opening that door. I want to thank all the scoutmasters, assistant scoutmasters, the den mothers, the den leaders, all the people. It's a very decentralized organization, runs on nickels and dimes because of the effort. And they do have an impact on people. I mean, I've seen it all the time. So I do want to thank everybody that is involved in this organization.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for the call.
A shout out for Troop 13. We came up with the logo for Troop 13. Do they still have it? The Black Cat Troop.
Yes, they do. Yes, and I will pass that along to them when I see them.
Thank you, Kevin.
I need to tell them, guys. I got a grandson I want to put in that.
Ah, there you go.
Very good. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. And let's go from Kevin to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Hi there. I want to make sure that they explain the advantages of being an Eagle Scout. If you join the military, you go in and as an E2 instead of as an E1. Doesn't sound like much, but it's an extra $80 a month. College applications, one of the first things they ask is, are you an Eagle Scout? So that's one of the benefits of being an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, you are right. I do a lot of Eagle Scout boards review, and coming up in the next couple of months, I usually have a lot more of them as kids go, oh, I've got to do my college application. I want to finish this up. So you are right. There are advantages to it.
If I can piggyback on that, it is an award for life. The chairman of the Board of Trustees, actually two trustees at the University of Illinois, have that on their bio. Most people will put Eagle Scout on their resume for the rest of their lives. I don't think you should ever do anything just for a credential, but it is a great credential.
Well, that's exactly right. My brother serves on the Board of Trustees for some smaller schools out east, and that's the first thing that, you know, when they get an application, they look for is, are they a Gold or an Eagle Scout? And, you know, I don't think that an 11-year-old can appreciate that when they're 51 or 61 that they will still be, you know, known as an Eagle. And America's greatest space disaster, Apollo 13, was the only crew that was entirely commanded by Eagle Scouts.
Well, and they worked through their problem, didn't they?
They did.
Yes, they did. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, we appreciate you guys being in today. We had a quick question, and I don't know how. What is the administrator's salary in the Boy Scouts? I don't know.
Are they applying for a job? Or
I don't know. I don't know what that would be, or what generally is there a. I mean, what a lot of it's volunteer, right? So.
Oh, if you're talking about scoutmasters and that sort of thing, it's all volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Or is, you know, if you're talking about the paid professional staff, it depends on what level you're at.
Right.
Whether you're a district executive, which is more of an entry level, or a newer position on up to a scout executive such as Steve. So
yeah, well, I don't think Steve's going to give us his salary, so we're not going to ask him that. But that was a question that came in. So, well, thank you guys for coming in. This has been great. Anything else we need to?
Yeah, I wanted to add one thing. We've talked a lot about the advantages to the youth of this, but you know, I have met some of my best friends, and my children have gotten some of their best friends from their camping experiences, and you know, I've been backpacking and kayaking with some of the other advisors for more than 20 years now. And so it is good for the adults too. It gives me that reason to keep in shape. If I'm going to go schlep up a mountain for 10-12 days, I got to be in condition. So it's a wonderful program for youth. It's also a wonderful program for adults, and we get just as much out of it as the youth do.
Gabrielle, thank you. Steve, thank you. Randy, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and wrap it up for today after this. Well, we appreciate our guests being on with us today. Boy Scouts. Hope you learned a little bit about Boy Scouts. And if you're interested, you can go to their website, of course, and check it out. All right. Tomorrow, open line time. We can pick up on any of the conversations we had today or continue with another one tomorrow. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hours. I got a representative from Gibson Area Health will join us for a few minutes during the course of the show tomorrow. In case you missed it, some people get very creative when trying to get the roads fixed in their neighborhood. We've got a few potholes around occasionally. You see them here. Residents in a Toronto neighborhood that live near an ever-expanding sinkhole say they've been badgering the city to fill it for months. I'm looking at a picture of it. This is huge. Since no progress has been made, frustrated residents turn the hole into a tomato garden. The sinkhole is big enough only one car can pass at a time on the road. Residents say it's now become sort of like a community garden. The effort has apparently worked. The city's mayor has now promised to fill the hole and move the tomatoes to an actual community garden. That was in the Toronto, Canada area. That was an In Case You Missed It story that I always have a stack of. That's going to do it for the show today. Thanks again to Scott for filling in yesterday. Thank you for being with us throughout the 2 hours today. And the Rush Limbaugh Show coming up after the news on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Have a great day, everybody, on a Tuesday. Talk to you soon at The Tone. It's 11 o'clock Central.